and welcome. It's hour number two. Hour number two of our radio program, and our lead this hour about changes. Quarterback changes around the NFL, but one in particular in the Windy City. Thumbs up, thumbs down on Justin Fields being as ready as he thinks he is to take over the reins for the Bears against the Browns this weekend. We discuss that and much more this hour. Hour number two. Here it is. Will it be Fields of touchdowns or not? Well, come in the beginning of another hour of the Ben Maller Show. We are together in the air everywhere as we go through the motions, coast to coast, border to border, and beyond, on the vast and powerful microphones of FSR emanating live from the court of public opinion, the Fox Sports Radio studios at a secret location deep in the Northwoods. So our lead this hour coming from football. That's right, football, football, football. We talk a lot of football around these parts. And quarterbacks changing around the NFL. The infirmary report coming out. We got Miami, Tua Tagovailoa. I did a rant about him. He needed to play this weekend for the Dolphins. He's not playing. They said they somehow missed a fractured rib, but they found it later on. Okay, so he's out. Dolphins going with their backup. But the story this hour comes from Chicago. Another shoe has dropped in the Windy City there. The Chicago Bears announcing that their rookie quarterback, Justin Fields, everyone up in arms that Fields was not starting to begin the year. Well, didn't take more than a few weeks for him to take over as the quarterback there. This because of injury, as he has been named the starting quarterback for the Bears for this weekend's game in Cleveland. Now, Andy Dalton dinged up. Fields was gushing. He addressed the media in a very awkward, is the word I will use, news conference. More on that in a minute. But here is Justin Fields, a little sliver of it. And he was asked about confidence when speaking with reporters. If you didn't hear what he said, maybe you missed it. Justin Fields is gung-ho, ready to go.
How ready are you for this stage and this opportunity?
I think I'm ready. I've been preparing for this moment a long time, so my mindset hasn't changed. I'm still going to play like football and just prepare the best I can, like I said before, and just get a lot of practice reps in and just study, 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 and, you know, just get more comfortable and more confident with the plays.
All right, so this is what's known as the money quote. That's not a great quote, but by our standards for this, for the purposes of this monologue, it's a money quote. So the key part of that, I think I'm ready. I've been preparing for this moment a long time, and he talked about his mindset not changing and study, 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 study. All right, so let us discuss. The question here, are you going to go thumbs up or thumbs down to Justin Fields being ready to have success, right? Is he as ready as he thinks he is to be the starting quarterback for the Chicago Bears? So thumbs up, thumbs down, thumbs down. I'm going thumbs down. Now, my observations, you've got Puppy Dog, Mike Tyson, and Daily Double. And we will lock all of these things together, and those will be the basics of this Maller monologue, which will frighten the hell out of you, unless it doesn't. Now, number one.
Number one.
So Justin Fields, I watched the news conference. He was peppered with questions, the heartfelt Chicago media working to craft his legend and the mythology like a lumberjack here to save the Bears. He's the savior, Mr. Fields. We watched the back and forth with reporters. It was awkward and at times obnoxious. Obnoxious. The whole thing was gushing worship. It was a gushing worship service from the Bears media. They acted, many of them, like a bunch of starry-eyed, very average teenage girls who have a childlike crush on a rock star. It was cringeworthy, right? The fun-o-rama with softball questions. It was Lob City. Lob it up. And they were just trying to get quotes. I got the sense that the people interviewing Justin Fields had already written the story weeks ago, if not months ago, about him taking over as the starter, and they just needed a quote to put in there, to cut and paste into the story. And they were giving him, it sounded like puppy dog eyes, that they, you know, the lovey eyes. It's a celebration, jubilation. This is a joyful occasion. So the Bears are selling, and they're useful idiots in the media, are selling an upscale future. Right? Things are looking up, and we are on the cusp of a coronation situation. Now, here's how I would grade Fields in the news conference. He was meticulous. He was calculated. It was as if he had watched an old baseball movie with Kevin Costner from back in the day there, and he was listening very intently as Kevin Costner's character, Crash Davis, advised Nuke LaLoosh. And the famous quote there, just trying to help the ball club, give it my best shot, and the good Lord willing, things will work out. It was cliches, buzzwords, and catchphrases. But let's roll up our sleeves here and get down to the nitty-gritty. Justin Fields absolutely should be the Bears quarterback. We endorse the move. We said it weeks ago. We were not in the minority. We were in the majority on that. Now, that being said, just because I believe Justin Fields should play does not mean in any way that he is ready to succeed. This is going to be an ulcer-inducing performance. It is going to take Baker Mayfield and the Cleveland Brown offense turning the ball over multiple times for the Bears to have a shot to win this game. It's hard to imagine Chicago walking out of Cleveland and having a big smile and having a happy ending to the first start. So Fields, a lot of cliches, as I said, a lot of normal boilerplate responses, but he really had no choice. Imagine the headlines had Justin Fields come out and said, you know, I'm not really ready. I'm not prepared. Godzookery would have taken place. It would have erupted. It's a different animal, though, to walk the walk. You can talk the talk, to walk the walk. And his comments sounded very reminiscent to comments that in the past we've been sitting in this very chair into these microphones talking about Johnny Manziel or even last year Tua Tagovailoa, among other quarterbacks. Every hot shot, blue chip, five-star recruit, every one of them are groomed at these quarterback academies. And from the time they're in junior high school, hand-selected prodigies. And part of that is not only the 7-on-7, but they also coach you up on how to deal with the media. So you get a lot of these guys who all sound the same because they all went to the same quarterback academy and they all had the same media consultants, the spin doctors, telling them how to answer questions. And so what you get is this watered-down, blah generation of quarterbacks dealing with the media. Now, if you want to know what's going to happen here, you are more likely to get what Trevor Lawrence has done in Jacksonville or Zach Wilson has done with the Jets. It's the great guru, Michael Tyson, who summed up what's about to happen to Justin Fields years ago. And his famous quote, which has had legs all these years later, everybody has a plan until they get punched in the mouth. And you can study until, bam, right in the jaw, right? And you flunk the test. But it's got to happen. You've got to get these out of the way. You start the young quarterback to get the stank out of the way until they figure it out. If they don't figure it out after a certain number of games, a finite number of games, then you know this particular player doesn't have it. And then you move on and get somebody else. All right, final point. So Matt Nagy made sure to reiterate that even though Justin Fields is starting, Andy Dalton would be getting the starting job back when his body heals up. We talked about this in a previous episode of the show. Now, he reiterated that comment, as we said. Again, people are losing their minds over this. Yeah, you have to respect the pig-headed nature of Coach Nagy in Chicago, right? It's not brain surgery. This is actually, I thought about this. I had my own eureka moment. This is the Daily Double. This is the Chicago Bears saying Daily Double, Daily Double, Daily Double. Right? Now, why is this the Daily Double? Because you accomplish two things the Bears want to accomplish. You stick to your game plan. The Bears brass, they did not want to start Justin Fields at the beginning of the year. They haven't done that. They would rather not play him now, but they have no choice. And so Matt Nagy's also, the second leg of this, he's in his head, he's taking the pressure off Justin Fields by announcing that Andy Dalton will return as the starter. And so this is just a measly run-through. Now, nobody is buying what the Bears are selling. The ball is squarely in Justin Fields' court. And the opportunity is a knocking at the front door. Justin Fields goes Kurt Warner, greatest show on turf, and we have a much different outcome. Do I anticipate we will get that? No. But if Fields is just incredible, see what I did there? Just incredible, and kills the dry run, then Andy Dalton will be collecting cobwebs on the sidelines, but I wouldn't bet on it. Not against the Browns, not this weekend. Now, Justin Fields got a taste of the NFL against the Cincinnati Bengals last weekend, and I was watching this game. I had a financial interest in the outcome of the game, and I saw a player that was in over his head. And the Bears fans, delusional, saying he looked good. He didn't look good. He sucked. He was very raw, unfiltered against the pretty mediocre Bengals defense. I saw some wobbly passes. I saw some bad ball security from Justin Fields. Deer in the headlights on some plays. Now, there were also a couple plays that the Bears receivers did not help him out. But unmodified, that is a recipe for failure, right? The Bears play the Lions at Soldier Field next week. That is a much more desirable spot for the Bears to put Justin Fields out there. So even if he goes out there and stinks and Andy Dalton's better, you got to think they give Justin Fields the opportunity because it's hard to look bad. It's hard to look bad against Detroit. You can go out there blindfolded with one arm tied behind your back and you're not going to collapse. In fact, you'll probably come out of that with a ton of confidence because of how bad the Lions are. So if Fields can survive and not be injured this weekend, that's a nice soft landing spot next week, the week after here against the Detroit Lions. And keep in mind, the quarterback who is going to be on the bench waiting to come in if Justin Fields does get dinged up in his first NFL start, the hero of Philadelphia coming in off the waterfront. That's right, Nick Foles. He's waiting. Hello, I'm ready. Put me in, coach. Welcome in the beginning here of another plea to get you to call in. 877-99 on Fox. 877-996-6369. We'll take some phone calls here. We didn't take many last hour. We'll try to take more here so I stop squealing like a pig. 877-99 on Fox. Also on Twitter, at Ben Maller. If you would like to be part, that's at Ben Maller. And you can join the Festivus here. Got some business to take care of, but we did not take care of. Watch out for inflation, right? We've got that story. Also, hell hath no fury like an angry man scorned or a angry father scorned. We'll get to that, and we will do it next.
Our plan was to do what we do. You know we do. That's what we did.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Ben Maller Show weekdays at 2 a.m. Eastern, 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Big Ben Maller, he has no equal. Maller Militia, here's a sequel. Ben Maller is the greatest, we've all heard him say so. Then why can't he beat Eddie and take home that pile of pesos? He dominates the airwaves from Miami to Vancouver. I think I'd win a password, I know the Maller maneuver.
We believe in the power of the people in the Maller Militia. Get the most out of the Ben Maller Show listening experience by adding your touch. Take a few seconds to follow your host on Twitter. He's at Ben Maller. And you can tweet at and follow our executive producer. He is manning the phones, but he's more than the call screener. He's the liar, liar, and the menace of the Fox Sports Radio Network. It's the Coop de Loop, Justin Cooper, and he's at UH Bronco Fan. And now live from the Fox Sports Radio studios, it's Ben Maller.
Late night drug tester writes in. He says the Bears just need to tour the Midwest and have a quarterback competition like they did outside the Chicago Brewery, looking for a new place kicker. It's a great idea. Robin Vegas needs a therapy dog. He's freaking out, man. He's losing his mind because there were some hiccups on the stream. I did tweet out, not that there's no point in me talking about it because you can't hear it if you're not listening right now. There's no point in me telling you, but the stream had some issues. So if you're one of our streaming listeners, you can listen to a different stream. And I sent out a link so you can follow along on that. Alf, the alien opiner, Springfield, Mass. Says, fantastic monologue. If only for your rare and appropriate Jeopardy sound drop and the new magical toy. No, that was not my new magical toy. I only have that toy on the podcast, which will be back on Friday and Saturday and Sunday. But I do have my own sound effect machine on the podcast, but not on the radio show. That's all Roberto and Eddie. And that's good because I have plausible deniability if anybody gets upset about a soundbite. I'm like, I can't play it. I have no control over it. It's their fault. I point the finger at them. It's a CYA, cover your ass. And I'm pretty good at that. Just Josh says, just think about it. We are only one Myles Garrett hit away this Sunday from Nick Foles coming in and taking Andy and Justin's job away. There you go. He says, I know lame jokes are tomorrow. Bobcat writes in. He's upset. He says, I'm sick of this crap. Well, Bob, that's angry. What an angry way to start the comment. He says, I'm sick of this crap. Fields, every quarterback from Ohio State and every quarterback from Alabama, LSU, et cetera, they suck. In college, they look at the sideline for the coach to tell them which eventual first-round pick to throw a rainbow to, and everyone thinks they're great. Well, that's not always true, but it is a problem. We saw that with Tua in Miami, where at Alabama, he throws a little five-yard pass to one of his receivers in Tuscaloosa, and it's off to the races. Touchdown! He makes the same pass in the NFL, and the ball's batted away, or it's no yards after catch, and you only get a couple of yards, 3, 4, 5 yards, something along those lines. That's it. Pull My Finger in Colorado says, Mr. Ben, a wonderful monologue. People in Elway world went from praying to pissed when the Broncos passed on Justin Fields. Me too. The Bronx deserve a quarterback dude who couldn't beat out the mighty Jake Fromm at Georgia, says Pull My Finger. Now, speaking of John Elway, I actually have something in common with John Elway. It's very rare that you have something in common with someone in the sporting world who's been around. Elway's older than I am and been around for a long time, but did you see the story on the decision that Elway made many, many, many years ago, back in the late 90s, that if he had made that decision, yeah. This is a wild story. So, Coop, he knows what I'm talking about. So, John Elway, he's putting a group together. He wants to be the figurehead to buy the Broncos, right? But he wouldn't actually own the team. He doesn't have the money to own. He can't afford to actually buy the Broncos because these teams are worth, you know, $4 billion, these NFL teams. So he's going to own a fraction of the team, and he would like to own a fraction of the Broncos. So let's say he had, you know, 20% of the Broncos, which would be a lot of money to own 20% of an NFL team. So anyway, Darren Revelle pointed out that in 1998, John Elway was offered a deal at the end of his career with the Broncos. The Bolin family, I assume this came from the late Pat Bolin, the owner of the team at the time, makes sense, said, hey, I'd like you to own part of the team. I'm going to offer you 20% of the Broncos, but you have to spend $36 million to buy that share, 20% of the team. And John Elway thought about it and contemplated it and said, you know, that's not a good investment. I don't want to do that. And so he turned it down. Well, now that 20%, had he bought the 20% and held on to it, that would be worth $700-plus million. Today. And here's how I relate to that story. Now, Coop, here's how I relate to that story. So I had a cousin through marriage who's really good at the internet stuff. And I went to dinner at a Mexican restaurant years ago, and he tried desperately to get me to purchase an item that he was hawking. He said he was mining. I said, what are you mining? He said, Bitcoin. I said, what the hell's Bitcoin? He said, well, it's this currency that's like an internet currency, and it's gonna be a big thing. I said, no. No one's gonna do that. No one's gonna want that. But I could have gotten in at like $100 of Bitcoin. And how much is Bitcoin going for? Coop, you invest in Bitcoin, right? You're a big Bitcoin guy. How much is that going for today? If $100.
I did sell my position in Bitcoin. And
oh, you did. You got out. You're done. You moved on.
I'm in Ethereum now. That's what I. That's my cryptocurrency of choice. But
Dogecoin. Come on, man. Doge.
I believe Bitcoin is around $40,000. $44,000.
Oh, man. I'll be proven right eventually, though. I will be proven right. I just wait long enough, and I will stand atop the mountain. No?
Jeez. You're not going to say you were right at the time?
In fairness, Eddie, I was correct because it didn't go up right away. I mean, it took like at least a month after that conversation to go up and away. Well, we always love when new people come into our store and can try our product and see if they like the product. And we are very excited to welcome in a new terrestrial radio station joining the Fox Sports Radio family. And more importantly for us, a Maller Militia affiliate, a new radio station that has chosen to carry our show. And boy, are we thankful for that. So welcome in. This is a blowtorch, 50,000 watts of power, bloviating all over, emanating out of Tulsa, Oklahoma. We welcome in the Blitz. That's 1170 in Tulsa, Oklahoma, live and local. Live and local. 1 a.m. to 5 a.m. Central Time. We welcome you in.
Wow.
You're probably saying, who the hell's this goofball? What happened to the other show that was on? But we welcome you in. And that is the radio home of the Oklahoma State Cowboys. And when I bring them up, when I bring up Oklahoma State, there's only one soundbite that I think of when I think of Oklahoma State. I'm a man. I'm 40. Come after me. That's the soundbite right there. The mullet.
He's been there a while, hasn't he?
Yes. In fact, the anniversary of that soundbite, I just read the other day, the anniversary has been 14 years. The anniversary was this week. Gundy, Mike Gundy, 14 years since he had that rant. So he's in his mid-50s now. And can you believe it's been 14 years? Man, this stuff goes by so quick. Crazy. But 14 years. That was 07. He was upset, Gundy, at a columnist in Oklahoma and unloaded. And so welcome in. And will anyone be calling in? You think we'll get any calls, Eddie, from the Blitz?
Absolutely.
Okay. Well, I hope so. It'd be hard to unseat our, right now, the top affiliate for people that call in and contribute would be the fan, K-Fan.
Come after me. I'm so
that's
man.
It. Yeah.
I'm
that's
40.
It. Yeah. That's it. Great soundbite. He's still there after all these years. That booster passed away, though, right, Eddie? The big booster for Oklahoma State.
T. Boone Pickens.
Yeah. T. Boone. The oil bearer.
Named the stadium after him.
Yeah.
Well, I think he paid for it, so when you do that, that's what happens.
Yeah, you're usually in pretty good shape. Supermarket Steve writes in, says, Tua became the number one pick in everyone's eyes after he threw those two touchdowns in the championship game. Both of them deep passes, he points out. Both of them deep passes.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Ben Maller Show weekdays at 2 a.m. Eastern, 11 p.m. Pacific.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's me, three-time Pro Bowler LeVar Arrington, and I couldn't be more excited to announce a new podcast called Up On Game. What is Up On Game, you ask? Along with my fellow Pro Bowler, TJ Hushmanzada, and Super Bowl champion, yep, that's right, Plexico Burris. You can only name a show with that type of talent on it, Up On Game. We're going to be sharing our real-life experiences loaded with teachable moments. Listen to Up On Game with me, LeVar Arrington, TJ Hushmanzada, and Plexico Burris on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts from.
Ben, I thought you might have this as a Maller monologue.
Oh,
but,
okay. All right.
There was a situation. I mean, you and I know we've been in this business long enough that sometimes there are media members that might have a certain slant or a narrative about a certain story. That happens. But there's certainly coaches and players who also try to spin things to favor themselves. And sometimes they'll just flat out say, well, that didn't happen. That is the case with Doc Rivers, the head coach of the Philadelphia 76ers. He was on a show on the Four Letter Network, and they asked him, hey, remember when you said, you were asked if Ben Simmons could be a point guard that you could win a title with, and you said you didn't know? And he said, oh, I never said that. Matter of fact, here is what Doc Rivers said about that situation.
Doc, you think Ben Simmons could...
Well, that's the wrong sound. Here we go. Here's Doc talking about it.
The question was asked about Ben. It was the first question. After we just lost a game 7, my answer was, I'm not answering any of that stuff right now, guys. I don't even know how to answer that. That had nothing to do with about Ben. I was basically saying, I'm not answering that crap, those questions.
Oh, that's a lie. Here's the question and the answer to Doc Rivers,
and you can judge this for yourself. Good job.
Do you think Ben Simmons can still be a point guard for a championship team like the one you guys want to become?
Yeah, David, I don't know that question or the answer to that right now. So I don't know the answer to that.
What do you, when you say get in the gym with him, what needs to be done? I mean, obviously, this is coaching.
Yeah, I mean, that's between Ben and I.
Okay. All right. So Doc Rivers went on the Four Letter yesterday and basically just lied and said, that never happened. I didn't answer that way.
What you just laid out, Eddie, is the term gaslighting. We talk about it all the time, and politicians usually do it, but public figures do it all the time. You just heard it. That just laid it out, right? You claim that something different happened than what actually happened. So what ends up taking place, you deliberately and systemically you feed false information out, and so people are quite questioning whether or not what they heard they believe, and it messes with people's minds. Doc Rivers, he's a dirty dog. What's up with that?
It reminds me of the old Eddie Murphy joke where he says, that his wife catches him in bed with another woman, and he says, it wasn't me. And she's like, I just caught you. I just saw you in bed with it. Wasn't me.
Yeah, Doc will lie to your face. He will lie to your face. All right, it is the Ben Maller Show as we press on here, slicing away the overnight hours. And Jordan says, I thought it was just my phone. He was talking about the glitch, a little hiccup on the app. He says, good thing I have WNXT in Portsmouth to listen. And says, please give them a shout-out. Well, we're not here to do shout-outs, but I'm glad that we're on 1260 there in Portsmouth. They call it Sportsmouth. That's a good nickname for the radio station. All right, let's take a phone call or two. And who do we have? Eeny, meeny, miny, moe. Let's say hello to Steve in L.A. What's going on, Steve? Hello? 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 Steve in L.A. Going once. Is he there? I hear breathing. Is that breathing? Not snoring, though. Yeah.
Steve?
Right. Are you alive, Steve? Did we lose you, Steve? I don't think he's there. We'll move on.
I think I called twice, too.
He called back?
Yeah. He called earlier.
All right. I guess he fell asleep or something. Let's go to Tony the Pizza Guy, who's in New Jersey. What's going on? Tony the Pizza Guy, you are next up.
What do you know, Mean Caesar?
Yeah. All right. This is going well. three strikes are out. Let's go to Richard
This is why some hosts don't take calls.
Yes. This will be a teachable moment, Eddie, that they will teach other radio hosts not to take calls, this segment of radio. Richard in Miami. Hello, Richard.
Hey, Ben, I just wanted to call. The other night, I didn't get a chance to call in right away, and your monologue you were talking about with the Paytons when they broadcast it on Monday Night Football, and Angry Bill said you're jealous. That's not true. Peyton Manning's a big ham, and we see this as soon as he left, he's doing all these commercials. He doesn't need the money. He just likes attention, and I don't hate him. You don't hate him. He's one of the best quarterbacks I've ever seen play the game, and so is Eli. But they remind me of a couple of punks outside of a convenience store with their skateboards and their dirty shoes and ridiculing people and drinking their knee-high. They're just a couple of punks. They don't belong in the booth. They're a distraction. So I agree with you 100% on that. There ain't anything about it. It's like these chowderheads that say, who would you rather be? Tom Brady or Ben Affleck? They both have shut up. I want to be me. You know, what is it, Freaky Friday? I don't want to be in somebody else's body. That would freak me out completely. You're right. You know, you want to swallow somebody else's saliva? I don't want to be somebody. I want to be me, Ben. You want to be you. Yeah. You're successful. Yeah. I'm smarter and better looking than both those guys, to be honest with you.
Oh, really? Really?
Whoever wrote that narrative can shove that one where the sun don't shine.
Now, what is your definition of good looking, Richard? What is your definition?
I'm a head turner. I've got my mother's good looks, the high cheekbones, the blue eyes. I'm tall. I'm thin. I'm not young anymore, but they're just average looking guys. I'm a real head turner. I'm a real handsome. I've been described as very, very handsome, man.
Oh, really?
I'm very intelligent.
And you're not braggadocious at all. You're not braggadocious at all, which is good.
I'm blessed with these traits. I don't want to be them.
Wow, bro.
I don't want to be them. I don't want to be them. I don't need to be them.
Yeah. You know. All right. Well, Richard, listen. That was a good call, and that is worthy of a nickname. We've got to come up with a nickname for Richard there. And I'm sure the Maller Militia will do what they have to do. But, Richard, I'll give you a golden ticket for that. That was a good call. Call me more often, Richard.
I've got a golden ticket. I've got a golden ticket.
Compared Peyton Manning and Eli to a couple of punks outside a convenience store with their skateboard.
Drinking knee-high. That's a very cool reference.
Yeah. That's a good call. See, that's why we take calls, Eddie. We'll just forget about the other calls.
Coop, do you know what a knee-high is?
There's no chance.
A sock?
It's an old-school term for like a soda pop.
Yeah.
Never heard that before.
Yeah, I know. It's
dang, like you guys are old.
I know. Very old.
It's from the Stone Age. It is. It's from the Stone Age. So, did you see the rage coming out of Tom Brady's father? Tom Brady's dad, furious. He did an interview in the lead up to next week's, not even this weekend, it's next weekend's Bucks game against the Patriots in Foxborough. And Tom Brady Sr. did not bite his tongue. And he said that Bill Belichick wanted him out the door, is what Tom Brady Sr. had to say. And that was just the opening salvo in a fiery podcast interview with Tom Curran. I think it's Tom E. Curran, I believe. That's his name there. He's been a Boston media guy for many, many years there. And he's a made man. He knows all these people. And so he tracked down Tom Brady Sr. And Tom Brady Sr. said he believes that his son has been vindicated after leaving the Patriots. Of course, win the Super Bowl. He said, damn right, Brady Sr. screamed. Damn right, he said, Belichick wanted him out the door, and last year he threw 50 touchdowns. I think that's a pretty good year. Hey, I like that. Damn right. And there were a bunch of other fiery quotes. He said, Tommy is extraordinarily appreciative of everything that happened during the New England career. He's more than happy that he moved on, though, he said. Tom Sr. is, he's a lightning rod. Tom Jr., is he a junior Tom Brady? I don't know. But the younger Tom Brady, the one that we know, the football player, is starting to feel his oats all of a sudden. But I do recommend tracking down that interview. There were some fiery, fiery quotes from Tom Brady Sr. Not being bashful at all. All right, Spencer.
Did you know I went to college with Tom Brady's sister?
I did not.
Yeah, she was an All-American pitcher at Fresno State softball.
Yeah.
And I've often wondered when she was pitching, I'm sure there was probably a little Tom Brady running around, throwing rocks and goofing around.
Yeah.
Right? Because her family was there watching her pitch and stuff.
It would make sense. Yeah.
But if I'd only known that he was going to turn into the greatest quarterback of all time.
How old would little Tom have been? Was he
like junior high? Like junior high, something like that?
Yeah, so he would have been like a punk, junior high punk.
Yeah, he would have been the one up with the skateboard outside the convenience store. Yeah.
Mom, I'm bored. I don't want to watch my sister play.
I'm sure he was. Like I said, you know how that is when you take a kid to a game. They're running around underneath the stadium, throwing rocks, whatever.
Exactly. Well, that's interesting. You probably have told me, but I forgot. All right, time now for the instant trivia. So Shohei Ohtani has homered and had the Angels end up losing by four or more runs 13 times this season. That ties blank for the most such games in a season in Major League history. Again, Shohei Ohtani, he has homered and had the Angels end up losing by four or more runs 13 times already. I say already, the season's almost over. But that ties blank for the most such games in a season in big league history. Fill in the blank, the answer, and Maller to the third degree, and thankfully no calls, next.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
The Ben Maller Show is scientifically proven to help make time fly by while working the third shift. We have a track record of almost 20 years of nocturnal service. Help support our daily battle against insomnia by following us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. We need your support. And now live from the Fox Sports Radio studios, it's Ben Maller.
And we have Maller to the third degree warming up, but right now here is the Insta Trivia, a blatant attempt to get you to listen a little bit longer. And here we go. Shohei Ohtani. He has homered and had his Angels team end up losing by four or more runs 13 times this baseball season. That ties blank for the most such games in a season in big league history. That is the question. And what is the answer? And many, many answers are flowing in, as you might imagine here. Wilt Chamberlain, guessed by Mr. Nice Guy. Ryan Garko from Malibu Reuben. A pretty good name. Who else do we have? Page down. Larry Bird from Alf the Alien Opiner. John Shelby, Dodger legend. Guessed by Chris in Des Moines. Breadman Bill, the occasional marginal show contributor, is going with the Albany Patroons. Militia Twitter King says Chris Berman is the answer. Rob in Vegas going with New Jack. Mr. Cub Ernie Banks from the Midnight Walker. The Crime Dog, Fred McGriff, tossed out by Double O Mexican. Joey Votto from Just Josh in Cincinnati. Fields of Green cheated and got it right. Bad job by you. Steve Lombardozzi Jr. from Rob in Minnesota. There's a good name. Dontrell Willis from the Scorpio Niner. Who else do we have? Jamarcus Purple Drank Russell from Vols fan Jimmy. Do you have an answer, Eddie, please? I need an answer.
Yes, former Angel World Series hero Scott Spezio.
Whatever happened to him? We don't want to know. No, the correct answer, Eddie, is a Chicago Cub legend, Slammin' Sammy Sosa in 1999. Sammy Sosa. A lot of home runs and a lot of losses.
It's Maller.
How about that?
To the third degree. This is when Big Ben gets grilled.
Coop Dalu.
Robert Griffin III admitted on Tuesday that he would like to keep playing and he would be open to a return to Washington. He also said that he believes he and Cam Newton are the best available vets. Ben, do you think RG3 is going to get another shot?
No way, Jose. RG3 is not walking back through that door. He is a symbol of the biggest failure of Dan Snyder's tenure in Washington. They traded all those first-round draft picks. They got their franchise quarterback, and it turned out to be a dark chapter as he got injured and collapsed there. So, and he's also antiquated at this point. Why would you want him? He's a running quarterback who can't throw. Forget about it. The wheels fell off. Next!
Since 1990, when the playoffs expanded to 12 teams, only 11% of the teams that started 0-2 went on to make the playoffs. Ben, which 0-2 team do you think has the best chance of turning it around and making the postseason?
Well, the easy answer is to say none of the above, but I will engage your question. And the math on this is a little messed up because now the NFL's added an extra game. So does that make it harder or easier to make the playoffs if you're an 0-2 team? But the answer here, scanning the field and the landscape, is the Minnesota Vikings. 0-2, they lost in overtime. Dalvin Cook fumble. Gave the game to the Bengals. Lost to the Arizona. They had the game won. Greg Joseph shanked a kick that a professional kicker should not shank. So that's the team. That's the only team. The other ones are destined to suck all year. Next!
Isaiah Thomas made a post on social media that said that the Brooklyn Nets cannot win a championship without Kyrie Irving. Kevin Durant actually commented on the post saying, facts. Well, Ben, is that facts?
No, they almost won a championship without him last year, right? You can play the James Harden got injured, but the Nets were Kevin Durant, who went bonkers in that game against Milwaukee. They almost beat Milwaukee as it was without Kyrie. I mean, they have too many ball-dominant players on that team. I'm not a Kyrie fan. He's a talented guy. It's not like he led the Boston Celtics, though, to a championship. It's going to be about Durant. How do we do? Quickly!
You pass.
There it is. That's a winner. That's a winner.